I can't remember what the fuck this thing's called.
I
Who knows? Maybe it'll show up in this episode. Maybe it'll be a new thing. Because, as you know, Dirty 30s.
Dirty
Dirty
30.
30s. This is dangerous. I think it's happening.
Dirty 30. Welcome to Know Your Rights, a music podcast from two guys who know just enough about songwriting to start a podcast about.
Follow Rob
and Colton
as each week we dive into a different band or songwriter and discuss what makes them great,
okay, or otherwise.
Music is law,
and we know our rights.
Welcome everybody.
Welcome to episode Dirty 31.
Dirty 31, yeah.
Dirty 31, everybody. Oh my god. Someone's about to have a Dirty 30 birthday.
Yeah, 37 is not that interesting.
You could bleep that age out if you want to. I don't know if it's... I always forget, there's a period of time where we are the same age.
Yeah.
That's fun.
Yeah, and it's about to end.
And it's over.
It's about to end again. But yes, my birthday is on Tuesday. So by the time anybody's listening to this, I will have been my new age for about a month.
But you know what? Stop. Let's leave some gap in the episode right now for people to sing happy birthday to you.
Sing happy birthday to me.
Yeah, I'll keep the time.
No, you.
Oh, no.
You sing happy birthday to me. I was a little let down that I didn't see an acoustic in the background. Like, oh, that's coming.
Oh, that's
like me, like doing an aw shucks, like, oh, Colton, you don't have to do that. All right.
This dub in video of me singing, I'll get an AI register of like me singing happy birthday. Happy birthday.
Okay. It feels weird. Now I feel like Kennedy and you're Marilyn Monroe.
I know. I don't
want this moment.
I know he doesn't want it, but
you called my bluff. You called my bluff. Well, everybody, I hope you've had a good 2 weeks. I hope you enjoyed our Tool episode. And for anybody new, aka the Beehive.
Yeah, Beehive.
Behave. We're going to be all right. It's not that bad. I actually...
Wait, is it Beehive or Beehive? Really quick.
I thought it was Beehive, like beehives.
Is that... That's why there's bees when people post bee emojis things.
Yeah.
Does she own the letter B? Is that like she's got that market squared?
I mean... Yeah, probably.
Okay, that's fair.
I mean, who are we? I know that you had a little bit of a trepidation over the last 2 weeks. You called me and said, do you want to just not do this?
And which is not the first time I've done that.
Of course. Of course. I've done the same. I've done the same to you. But I got to say, I appreciate it. I actually very much so enjoyed this album.
Do you know, okay, here's the best thing that happened to my experience of this record. And like my like little sad man like spiral that I tend to do. Like, I don't even need this podcast to do my sad man spirals. They just happen. But
it's just kind of like showcases it.
Yeah. The best thing that happened to the way that I understood this record was that Taylor Swift's record came out in this last week.
Yeah.
And I went, oh, Cowboy Carter is great.
I know Taylor. What that Taylor Swift's album was? What, 31 tracks?
Yeah, 31. Well, 30? And all like I was actually listening to it today while I was doing some work, and I this is not a Colton Know Your Rights official review, but it did give me an appreciation of Cowboy Carter. I just wanted to say that. Where, and I actually like I listened to Cowboy Carter again, and it made me realize like there's a tier that we're working with, and it's good to just remind myself of what a quality version of this record is versus one that is uninspired.
There's a dangerous territory where it's being prolific is not always a great thing.
No, you don't want to give more opportunities for people to read your lyrics, is another way of putting that.
Well, I never read lyrics, but
that's just
I heard the first couple tracks off the T Swift album, and it wasn't bad to me. It wasn't gripping.
There's a great Paste magazine review up. It's actually one of the only ones that makes me feel like a sane human being, like living on this planet. where they actually they posted, I guess, a review of, I think it's Reputation from 2019, the Taylor Swift album.
Okay.
And the writer for that review, because it was a pan of the record, received a lot of death threats from quote unquote Taylor Swift fans. So this recent review of the Tortured Poets Department anthology, they didn't put a byline. They said, "We're not going to tell you who wrote this review to protect our writer, because the last time we did, they got threatened a bunch." And it's a pretty great review.
I kind of quit the podcast now. I'm like, I don't want death threats.
Yeah.
Taylor Swift, we're not going to be covering you, apparently. And if the Beehive comes after us, and I get death threats.
I don't think the Beehive's gonna have anything bad to say. I got lots of good things to say, I think.
I kind of do too. Yeah.
Well, yeah. But anywho, it's a great review, and I encourage people to read it if they haven't, because I think it's just healthy to where we are. I kind of wanted to talk to you as we get more into Cowboy Carter about a term I know is out there called poptimism. But I think one way to think of this is, I think it is a healthy market of ideas to have these sort of big propped up commercial corporate pop records. They should exist. There are whales out there, but we need to have that balance of like really mean critical pans of those things. They can't go unchecked.
I agree. If we're only going to live in a society to where Beyonce and Taylor Swift are the monumental albums that come out in this particular zeitgeist, as you use in the last episode, like I listen to sports talk radio and they're talking about Cowboy Carter and whatever the hell Taylor Swift called her
Yeah, I
album.
would. I'm really right now trying to think of if there is like a third artist where their musical output gets put at that same level.
I
I
can't.
think you're fooling yourself if you think of someone else. Like the Beatles put out a new song via weird AI technology last
Not
year,
entirely, not entirely AI, but a little bit of AI.
but a little bit of AI. And I mean, the fact that two of those people are dead, and they were. I think you'll agree with me, not nearly as much attention as what these last two records from Beyonce and Taylor Swift. Like, that's just a good sign of the times for people to remember.
It's awkward. I mean, for example, Thursday just released a new song, and they swore they were never going to release a new song.
This is
They
an
were just
amazing
going to play.
segue.
Thank you for
For
validating
it's great to screw up the segue by telling you how good it is.
that. But so Thursday, I think you were originally planning on let's talk about what our favorite Beyonce song was outside of Cowboy Carter.
I had ideas, but when you're the one who told me, this was during my panicked phone call where I said, "Let's quit the podcast and not do this." And you said, "There's a new Thursday song out." And I had no idea. When did this come out, Rob?
A week from last Friday,
Wow.
which for the listener, that means nothing. For all the Behevians.
Well, it was early April, maybe.
There you
I think
go.
is the early to
Early
slightly
to mid.
mid.
Yeah.
Yeah. Now, I'm trying to keep my own self in check. When was No Devolution released? That was, you know what?
Yeah, I was gonna say, I think you have the computer right next to you. All I have is my cell phone.
2011.
So it's been a minute, but didn't they swear off of releasing anything like creating new music? Their only path forward was going to be playing live shows and playing old tunes.
I believe that's where we left them in our episode. And if you want to re-listen to our Thursday episode, it was good. And I want to say overall, we are moderately high on Thursday. I can't remember where
Hell
our
yeah. I'm.
arbitrary rankings are.
What's the name of the song?
It is. My eyes rolled when I read it. Application for release from the dream.
Yeah. There's a lot in there. There's a lot to unfold or to unpack. But from my understanding, they're not going to release an album. They're
It,
still kind of gung ho on that idea.
yeah. Well, and I think they mentioned in at least like the little YouTube blurb that I saw, they've reached their kind of like a DIY collective phase of their career where they're just going to release songs whenever they feel like it. I know that one other band that we both really like, Jimmy Eat World, has announced, and whether or not they're going to keep to this, I don't know. They've also announced they want to just release singles for the most part and not really do albums. How do you feel
Interesting.
about this? I don't want to call it a trend because I don't really think that it is. But
I
what's
feel
your
like maybe I'm speaking out of turn on your behalf, but for me, I once upon a time kind of had that mentality of I'm not going to do albums anymore. I'm just going to release a track here and there. But it's impossible. I know for Default American, it always turns into that. Oh, we got a couple of songs we recorded. How about we record about 10 more songs and make this an album? And it's too demanding. So while I dislike it, because, for example, this particular Thursday song, I would love to hear companion pieces to it, because mm-hmm. I don't think the song's necessarily a standout.
On its own, it registers to me as like a kind of mid-album track mm-hmm. that would work better with something harder before it and slower after it. Like the way that it opens yeah. and how it like transitions in that kind of harder, more like, okay, like full collapse Thursday that we might have been mm-hmm. expecting. On its own, like out of context, it's a little bit jarring, and I don't know if I dug it as much.
Yeah, I really appreciated the guitar work, and as we were saying before, I love the fact that the vocals are, they matured in how they mix down the vocals to where there's still a little bit of that raw Jeff Rickley sound yeah. with also a good studio production on it, but not overly produced.
That was the issue with No Devolution, yeah. I think, for both yeah. of us, is that it was so obvious they were trying to camouflage what is, that's in all honesty, like his deficiency as a kind of like, you know, pure vocalist, but that's
and lyricist.
Never
yeah.
Well, yeah, and lyricist, and I think one of those two things they've improved on.
if you are trying to imply that the lyrics are not spectacular, I am on your side.
I think I won't hit there quite yet. I do overall appreciate what they're doing, and I hate the idea of releasing singles. I think Alex and Birthday Dad said this before, and I agree with them, which is, don't waste my time unless you want albums. And because we talked about Jimmy Eat World, I want them to put out albums forever. They are the, like, when it talks about, like, who creates amazing albums. With Thursday, I could see them working slightly better with just singles, but this one in particular, I think, is kind of funky on its own. I loved that little breakdown. I thought I would hate it more than I did.
It was Thursday. That was the moment of Thursday in it. Everything else was, it's difficult. I understand we all want to do it. I do it myself. I don't want to recreate old sounds. But shit, man, if people like it, give the people what they want. And I appreciate Thursday's attempt. But yep. at the end, my favorite part was that breakdown.
Yeah. Although the bridge leading before the breakdown, I have to point this out. This is where it's in context. Like in a live show, I could see like them that kind of like call and response, like, what is light? A spark.
Man,
what is life? A moment.
I'm learning more and more in this podcast. You know how you hate whispering?
Uh-huh.
I hate talking.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
I can't stand that. It's why I hated Fear Inoculum.
I was going to ask you what it was. We just were talking about something yeah. that has like a spoken word.
I'm not a fan of it. I love rapping, but to me, that's not spoken word. It's still rhythmic. It still has a pitch to it.
Yeah.
But also to go with you just talking about releasing singles, Strangers to Ourselves by Modest Mouse, that album bugged the hell out of me because they released about 5 singles before the album came out. And by the time I listened to the album, all of the other songs besides those 5 singles were not that good to me.
Mm.
And it just felt like it diluted how good an album this could be. They just kept, next week, all of a sudden on Spotify, here's this new release by Modest Mouse. And it irked me a little.
That record's not new, I know. But I want to say I'm more familiar with that model recently. Like, I think Vampire mm-hmm. Weekend just did that.
Yeah,
with
it's
Only
turned
God
into an unfortunate trend, and it's really to your question, like, how do I feel about it? In that instance, I hate it. But if Thursday is just saying we're not releasing an album, fine.
It's hard to be mad at Thursday. I think that's where we left it with them. It's like yeah. they're a very likable group of guys in terms of how they approach music. But
I love Jeff. Or Geoff, as I was yep. saying in the Thursday episode. Yeah.
Very, very likable. I think I have, I don't want to say even moved on, I've moved sideways Moved On implies that I think I'm somehow more beyond something Thursday is giving. I don't think it's that. I am adjacent to Thursday. And we've established I hate energy, and I don't care that they're
You're
being
not
energetic.
A fan of energy.
How dare they? That is
I mean, but again, the guitar work on that song I think is actually pretty cool.
Anywho.
Well, hell, I think we know what the next step in the episode is.
Just turning it off because I think everyone has turned this podcast off at this point. Thank God for editing. I'm so sorry.
No, I'm leaving that in. But we're going into our little ad break, right?
Mm. Yep.
Sorry I asked you that mid-sip.
It's all right. I'm sorry I sit. Mid-question. Let's, Leo, tell us about
Us about our family.
If you're looking for fun events, awesome music, and enjoyable podcasts, then look no further. The Baseball and Entertainment family has you covered. With so many talented people in our community, it was only right that we not only bring you events, but all sorts of awesome entertainment. Follow Baseball on social media or join our Discord community to stay updated and engaged in everything. That is at Baseblown on social media and discord.gg/baseblown for our Discord. Baseblown Entertainment, bringing you more than just bass in your face.
That wasn't a hint.
Okay. Well, I think it's funny you were singing that. Welcome back, everybody. I want to just say this for so we know.
How are you starting that way with maybe? Okay, welcome back, everybody. It seems like you were about to give me some sort of show notes here.
Not even. I was gonna comment, and then in the middle of it, I was like, I should actually put this in the podcast. So I.
Okay. So I okay. I kind of was gonna do something similar. I think. Let's find out.
Oh my god. Well, I wanted to say to get us started, maybe kind of help frame where I am. Mm-hmm. I am looking at the Wikipedia article for Post Malone. I have literally never heard anything by
Post
Malone.
How are we starting with Post Malone? Okay.
Because I have no idea. Like, that is to show there's a lot in this record that I think is, like, it's like you are required to recognize that some of these people, it's like Post Malone's on this record. I don't know who he is. I don't know.
Yeah, Post Malone, he's a decent singer. He kind of pulls off the T-Pain thing a little too much, but. He's got okay tunes.
Well,
okay. I had the one where he mentioned Seven Nation Army and then the one before that. Yeah, I'm not that familiar with them either. I have learned more just by chance a little before diving into this album.
I think one other way to phrase that is this record is not for me, right? And like in terms of what I typically listen to. What I'm like wanting out of a record, I think in a lot of ways, the way that Cowboy Carter is set up and is framed as this like artistic endeavor, it's something mm-hmm. that usually runs pretty counter to what I want or respect or admire out of music or songwriting. That's like my initial when I was even thinking about it, right? Why I wanted us to listen to it. And I think the Post Malone's a good example because it is so outside the sphere of what I deem as like music I care about, like in any way. Like, I think gotcha. I saw Post Malone in the most like overly generalized stereotypical thing. I went, no, not, none of him. I want none of him ever near me ever.
Well, get ready. Next episode.
But Beyonce herself, I think we both have a history with Destiny's Child, right?
Absolutely.
And
in case nobody's familiar with Beyonce, she was in Destiny's Child in her early teens or her mid teens. Sorry.
Although yeah. I'd be fascinated to know how many like younger fans of Beyonce are like also knowledgeable of Destiny's Child. I'm sure I'd be surprised at that, but still.
Or Willie Nelson or Dolly Parton or
Linda Martell.
Yep. Yeah. It's an interesting concept of an album that we're, about to dive into, because honestly, you just wanted to be part of the zeitgeist, and now I feel bad that we're not even doing Renaissance, because this is the second in part of a trilogy that she is intending to put out.
But I will say, the other reason I wanted to do this one, right, in addition to like my own curiosity about what it would mean for us to do a record where it is not a traditional songwriter record, I think, in any shape or form. And yeah. I think we'll talk more about why that is. But, and it's also one that, at least for myself, is so outside the realm of what I usually am like conscious of or care about that I want to actually see how our discussions can get me to appreciate it or not appreciate it, right? Either or. Sure. But it's also, I think, stepping into a genre that we both have some authority over. It's Americana, it's folk, it's country. That's the stuff that you and I are both been kind of raised in, as well as are practitioners of in the barest of senses. Agree. Renaissance, as I'm familiar with it, dives a lot into like the queer community and dance music. Mm-hmm. And I feel like I would be, there'd be less for me to be able to kind of reflect on and add of my own songwriting to that. Although I'd be interested. I'm interested now.
Hell yeah. Hell yeah. And I'm somebody who dances behind closed blinds. Like nobody gets to see me dance, but I do.
Hey, see our Daft Punk record. I think we did okay. We did.
I thought we did good. I love our Daft Punk record. Maybe episode is a better
episode. See, no, we did it. Well, I have done a Daft Punk record, just not to great success.
You have done a dance or electronic.
Coltron. Give me your honest, like, initial reaction. When I told you I wanted to do Cowboy Carter, what were your stages you went through?
My immediate approach was, okay, I know that there's conflict over the fact of, is this a country album? Is this not a country album?
Right.
And just to settle it for everybody, Beyonce said this isn't a country album. She's already quoted saying this is, it dives into a bunch of different genres, but it's a Beyonce album.
Right. You know?
So that was already kind of a nice little thing to settle, because that was what I was most concerned about. And everybody I've talked to about it, and I have kind of like, I've reached out to a few different people on what their opinions are on this album. Mm-hmm. And it seems every opinion is whether or not it's country, and like we're talking about the wrong stuff.
And also, that's the least interesting question, right? Yeah. I think to ask of this, because it's in a lot of ways sort of beside the point. Like what I'm more interested in is like, because whether or not it's country, one, that's silly, right? Like the like I know a lot of this dates back to when she's doing that performance with the Chicks, right? Formerly known as the Dixie Chicks, I think Daddy's Lessons, right, at the CMA Awards, and. Mm-hmm. There's like a lot of hubbub from, let's be frank, like probably a lot of white dudes who are upset that Beyonce
she doesn't
is there.
Belong in this genre, which is fucking horseshit.
And I can't remember who, like, I wouldn't be able to remember the like country stalwarts of like GM. I mean, it's CMA people, who are like, I like to keep it country. That's my CMA thing. Yeah. Those, like, if you consider anyone who is at the CMA Awards to be quote unquote country, I think you're silly. Like that is just as syrupy pop, whatever, as you want to call it. So
I mean, it, there are plenty of like diehard country fans who didn't feel that the 90s pop country was functioning in proper country.
It's always going to be relative to the past, right? And like your Travis Tritts, your Kenny Chesney's, these are like my childhood, and like, you know, Randy Travis is probably the one my dad listened to the most, right? In addition to Garth Brooks. And like, I still to this day love Randy Travis records, right?
I can dig Randy Travis. I love Brooks and Dunn, Reba McEntire, Shania Twain, which Shania Twain is kind of where Beyonce is kind of meeting at.
I agree with you.
Like, they both have more of a pop sensibility, but can bring in elements of country to it.
But I mean, I think that's the thing is at the end of the day, I think a lot of those people, it's all pop music, right?
Yeah.
That is, if that's
what I would call this
album. Drives, right. Yeah. And, but that's what I'm interested in, right? When you said, and this, I know it was a quote, which is, it's not a country album, it's a Beyonce album. What does that mean? And this was a question I posed to you last week in our phone call, which is,
we always have to bring up the fact that Colton and I make phone calls to each other.
We do talk to each other.
Yeah. It's not just this.
We tolerate each other's, and we actually talk about things outside of this podcast.
Yes. Like sports.
Like sports. There you go.
But
I'm, for as huge an artist, right? And as huge an artist as Beyonce
impactful
is.
Impactful an artist, too.
and impactful. And okay, and that word again, right? It's mm-hmm. like in terms of like all the people who are on this record and all the like female and black country artists who are seeing like way more listens to the record since then.
Mm-hmm.
Is anyone really influenced by Beyonce's music? And by that, I mean, is there like a newer pop artist or R&B artist who is today like, well, one of my biggest musical influences is Beyonce? Like, is that possible?
It's only for, as we discussed when we had a phone call, mm-hmm. but it's only really for the divas. That's how I view it. All the historical divas. I mean, we're talking about like Adele, I think I wouldn't be surprised if she said Beyonce's a big influence on her. I wouldn't
but
be surprised because of just what it means to be that hyper popular female singer.
It's
almost more of an
example.
It's more of an example as opposed to a musical creation approach.
That's a great answer to that question. And I know, so you mentioned before, like Streisand, right? Or like, mm-hmm. or Celine Dion. And that, in that way, I totally get what you're saying. It is less than about the kind of the musical modes they're working in. And it's far more about advertising, right? How to create
to an, extent. Yeah.
an image of
yeah.
yourself that people become. And I think Beyonce is really, really good at that. She has created this mystique around her that she did not used to have. I mean, she was in Destiny's Child. They did commercials. It was, and I love Destiny's Child, but were not this like mysterious, culturally influential force. They had a music video for the Charlie's Angels record. Like,
yeah. Well, and for that soundtrack. But I mean, when you were talking about it before, we're asking the wrong questions for this album. It's really more of a Black history approach to this album. And that's an element that, to me, I think creates such gravity to this. And it's kind of to your point, to where Barbara Streisand, Celine Dion, what Beyonce's doing is actually creating a hit or trying to showcase the history of America, Americana on this album. And that's something to where, who do we compare that to?
For
when it comes to the divas, and I know that diva may seem, I'm not talking about WWE, everybody. I'm talking about the musical divas,
And that is something I appreciate about Beyonce, and especially I think this trilogy of albums she's doing, because that was not always her mode, right? I think Lemonade, I don't know what people's mileage with Lemonade is. I could take or leave some of it. I think some of it's mm-hmm. pretty good. When I kind of open this podcast by very tongue-in-cheekly, right, but also somewhat factually comparing this album to the new Taylor Swift, right, LP that came out.
I think those are the only two.
Yeah. What I appreciate about Beyonce, especially in this sort of newer stage of her career, is she is trying to say something with her music that is outside of herself, while also using herself as a kind of centering, right, for each of the songs.
The medium, because I mean, because she's not I'm sorry to any Beehive fan, she's not really a songwriter. She's a song enhancer, I'll give her that. She does, when I say enhancer, it's like the vocal approach.
Songs are likely better because of her contribution.
And I think she does, I think she communicates with whoever the songwriter, the main songwriter is. She makes sure that she has her hands on this song. She's not going to just perform anything.
Right.
Like she might have done once upon a time when she was just trying to get into the industry. But now she does know that the Beehive is a real motherfucking thing. Like, and she's at least not just treating it as like, all right, I already have my constituents. She actually goes in and tries to have a greater, a bigger gravity to what she releases.
Yeah. So that's now I'm back to my somewhat skeptical mode, because I agree with you that I think the record is framing itself as a history of America, Americana, right? This reinvention of country. Does it do that? I don't think it does.
I kind of agree. I think it's I had a debate with somebody the other day over what Americana means now. And they were really hung up on what it once meant. And I'm kind of like, we have to include certain genres that once upon a time weren't considered Americana. And I think that's a little bit of what occurs on this album. Is it's not so much, I mean, like a song like Spaghetti. It's a song that's kind of calling out this idea of, what is it, that lyric is like, country, country, petty, petty. You know, and it's kind of just calling out to her. It's like, this is kind of Americana now. It's been around for so long. And in that song, she happens to be diving into her kind of Cardi B rap styling.
Yeah.
But it still fits on the album to me. And I kind of feel like it's kind of adding to the history of American music when that's occurring. And that's where I just go, like, maybe we have to modify what it is we think Americana is. And that's why I kind of dig what she's doing. Don't get me wrong, Beyonce's like the diva of divas. I can imagine Beyonce's got a little bit of a chip on her shoulder.
Oh.
Not necessarily, I mean, you said, not Beyonce Knowles, but Beyonce.
No, but Beyonce. I mean, yeah. The whole American Requiem is framed as like the whole lot of talking in here. I mean, it's the CMA mm-hmm. event, right? It's the whole... Yeah. Like the whole seed of this record. I guess my initial critique, and you might change my mind by the end of all this, is I really, alongside you, dig the intent that the record is saying it is trying to do. And I do think there are some interesting moments in terms of, so like Blackbird, right? And having mm-hmm. that framed as a cover of this song that is maybe about Black women during the civil rights movement.
It's essentially
like a bunch of other interpretations that are.
Yeah. I believe Paul McCartney, who also has a hand in this record as well.
Right.
I believe he has validated that, but he may have validated that recently.
See, and I think I want to say I heard that too. But even so, right, the sort of political and cultural significance of having these like Black artists, right, female artists cover mm-hmm. that song, that to me is like intellectually interesting, and it's pretty good. I like it. And I think that there are moments like that, but I also think the record is using these cosigns from these sort of country greats, right, and icons.
Yeah.
And the way that I think is trying to overimpress upon people the significance of this album. I don't think every song, like as a collection of songs, I don't think it measures up to that, right? I think there are tracks that are really trying. I mean, I don't want to get too deep into everything, but a track like Yaya is rising to the moment of what this record wants to be. But don't think every track is. And in that way, I think she framed it as, this is me playing with the flavors of country music. I think it would be a more impressive political statement to do that rather than trying to make it this bigger thing.
But that's the unfortunate thing, is I think that the listeners have made that more of the point of emphasis. It doesn't feel like she's, I'm sure she's enjoying capitalizing off of the fact that it's such a hot topic for everybody to discuss.
Right.
But she seems to me, like I said, it seems like she kind of stifled the argument already to where it's just, hey, she wants to blend elements of Americana into a Beyonce album. And she's already kind of danced the dance a little bit, but this one's a little bit more of a focus on it. And it is definitely more. I'm having a tough time trying to address your issue with whether or not this album accomplishes what the fans were expecting.
See, and I guess that's my issue, is it's not what I think the fans are expecting. I think the record is trying to be that. I think it is both fan expectation, and I can see how she is, you know, kind of her hand is forced. Every record now has to be a big thing. So, because everything feels like such an event.
I got you. And yeah, I remember you saying, like, hey, don't get your hopes up. Willie Nelson isn't performing as a musician on this. But it's kind of cool that those three artists are just kind of there to be kind of the radio disc jockeys. I kind of like.
Yes.
It's, you could take it or leave it. I mean, I understand that it's kind of trying to put that particular personality into the album. That is essentially what makes it a concept album. Outside of that, I don't think lyrically it flows particularly as a thematic.
No, I agree with that. It's also what makes it 27 tracks, which is extensive.
It's long. It's about an hour and 18 minutes, something like that.
That is, well, how do, so we have now four instead of six categories. It is both best and worst album all at once. Although I think we could say maybe which one we lean towards, but we can go to our four categories and dive deeper. And I'm happy to explore as much of this as you want, buddy, because I did enjoy myself. I really did.
Same here. What I was more curious is at the end when we do rankings.
Yeah.
We're doing out of five, right?
Yeah. I think albums we'll do out of five.
Yeah. For the listener who might be new, we usually do for an artist, if we kind of dive into more of their discography, we do a best out of 10. For this one, we'll do out of five because that's what we usually do if it's just the one album.
And I got it up here already. I'm ready to go with my rating.
I don't, but all right. All right.
Best song, everybody. We're going to do best song, worst song, underrated, and overrated. Do you want to start with best? Is this a 3-2-1? Maybe not.
Oh, I definitely don't think it is.
Okay, that's fair. You go first.
No, you go. Let me do a 3-2-1 into yours. 3-2-1.
16 Carriages.
Not bad. And I kind of got a hint at that when I was coming back in singing it to myself. That song's great. That song's really good.
It is good in a way that I was like not expecting. This is where I just have to be just honest with everybody. Like your typical Beyonce song, for the most part, doesn't hit an emotional frequency that I usually jive with, right?
I agree.
It's pop music, and pop music is not meant to do that, and that's okay. I love pop music from time to time. And I think 16 Carriages is, to me, a great example of what this record seemed like it wanted to do, which is this: it's a very personal song. It's not trying to go outside of itself, right? And it's also in that collection that I'm seeing feels like a really honest one. It's like her growing up in show business.
Right? And that's what I loved about it, is it kind of felt like it was a song that was based in the vulnerability. And again, I don't think she's the person who wrote all the lyrics, but she was definitely involved with it. And went like, no, this song needs to be personal. And
that's maybe like a blanket statement that we're going to say like Beyonce a lot in this episode. Mm-hmm. It's because, I mean, there are certain tracks where there are
this episode's built around Beyonce.
Well, there's like 8 or 9 people attributed to at least one of them.
Looking at everybody involved in this album,
it's exhausting. Yeah,
this is why we're talking about it.
So when we say Beyonce from here on out, we are in part talking about Beyonce Knowles, right? Vocalist, mm-hmm. harmonizer, but also like the team of people that are responsible for making this record what it is. I think that's a fair thing.
I agree. There's a team behind it. And also, is it Beyonce Knowles or is it Beyonce Carter or is it Beyonce Knowles Carter?
I think Knowles, I think she should have left Jay-Z when he cheated. So I'm politically saying cheaters always cheat. Should have left him. Beyonce Knowles. That's my hot take.
Jay-Z, and now back to 16 leave us alone. Carriages. Leave us alone. That was just a statement.
He doesn't want this smoke. No, I'm sorry.
I'm sorry. I like the apology. Beyonce also doesn't want this smoke, which is mentioned a lot in the album. But
apparently. But the thing is, 16 Carriages it's a folk song, right? It mm-hmm. has got a kind of classic folk structure to it. It's using that form for the way I think it's just really adept for, which is repetition, but showing growth and evolution of an idea. It's personal. And again, to me, it's that the personal is political. That was just to kind of briefly touch on what we were getting at the beginning of our album discussion here. That is, again, I think the bigger problem I have is I think this record is really impactful when it's not trying to be. When it's not trying to become this grand statement about American history and country music, right, and genre, when it is instead just actually demonstrating the idea, hey, this is what happens when Beyonce the artist is taking up these forms, and also showing, you know, that the black artistry that made them what they are, right, that is to me the most special moments of the record, when it's songs that are trying to preach their own significance. That's never fun. That's like going to a lecture somewhere. 16 Carriages to me is fantastic.
Yeah, it's a little forced if the approach is the opposite way. But to me, the thing that I love about 16 Carriages, it's probably my favorite thing about that song, is it's doing so. It's a 4-4 song for the listener. That's 1, 2, 3, 4. So it does that like 1, 2, 3, and on the 3 is when they have that big hit.
I knew you were gonna love this. I love you. Yeah, yeah.
You know,
16 carriages.
Yeah. And that being kind of, I mean, to me, that's what carries the song. Don't get me wrong. The 16 carriages is a great vocal melody, and like everything in between.
Yeah, the melody's great.
Sorry, I don't know the lyrics, but that's not what I grasp onto, period. But especially with Beyonce. But yeah, that the rhythmical choices made in that song, especially for a pop-centric tune, because that's released right alongside with Texas Hold'em. And while I don't dislike Texas Hold'em, when it comes to my choice between those two songs, I'm going 16 Carriages all day long.
I kind of think it's a standout. Like, it kind of stands apart for me from a lot of the other songs on the album. And I do like a number of other songs on here, but it hits a level of like craft mm-hmm. that, again, I was really kind of compelled by. And it's just gorgeous. I don't know.
Yeah,
so anywho,
it's a beautiful song. Yeah.
16 Carriages. Can I check in with you?
Mm-hmm.
You know what? No, I just want you to tell me, because I'm always trying to see if I can guess. Like, it's like I'm trying to win a competition to how well I know you. I just want you to tell me.
I don't think you would have guessed at all.
Okay.
So here's the thing, is I am a big Weeknd fan, which I'm sure you weren't expecting those words. Based
I didn't.
Off of this.
This is like me bringing up Post Malone. We are throwing each other curveballs.
I love Starboy. My favorite song on this album just reminds me so much of a song that could be on Starboy. I love Tyrant. Tyrant is my favorite song, and it's kind of rooted in the same values that I usually have when listening to Beyonce's. I'm like, I want to kind of dance. I kind of want to feel this vocal melody. I want it to come through. And that song just, it's so good to me. Every time I've listened to this album, when Tyrant starts, I'm going like, I'm going to listen to that again the second this album finishes. The song's sexy, which is cool. It seems to be something that Beyonce likes to focus on. It's kind of like, you know, being in a situation of like, you're that in love that you just can't keep your hands off of somebody.
Mm-hmm.
You know, but also just the way it starts off is so unexpected. Or the way it starts off makes what it turns into unexpected. And it's just, well, first of all, Giddy Up, fuck the Hives. That song is the best Giddy Up.
wait. I want to hear something real quick to Tyrant. Yeah. I'm trying to refresh myself.
That's all right. I'll listen to it again right now, too. Don't pay me in gold. Giddy up, giddy up. Back outside, I'm on the road. Giddy up, giddy up. Hey! When the sun goes down, it's Naya, Naya, hey! You can hear her body howl. In the moonlight, up, hey! I feel her eyeing me like, oh, it's Naya, hey! Your man when a hangman coming down. I definitely... I'm watching my co-host just go ham right now. With closed blinds.
I think in that second half of the album, right, that mm-hmm. they have, like, after Yaya, basically, I think that's a highlight in yeah. that thing. Actually, no, I even in saying that, I think what's right after that? Sweet Honey Buckin'. I love that mm-hmm. one, too. I think
yeah,
both of those are
not bad. It's just for me, like I said, with what I understand that all the psychological elements that kind of you can't help but have to dive into a little bit with this album. That song is just, it's sexy. It's vibey. It's got a great chorus hook. I adore it. And it makes me move. Like, it does what I'm always kind of, when I go to Beyonce, I'm going for kind of something like this. And I hope that doesn't sound dismissive to the Beehive, but it's just, yeah, that's the bee's knees for all the... Beehive.
Does Tyrant work on this record though? Like, I think it is one of the stronger songs on the record. Do you think, in terms of what the record is kind of framing itself as, like, do you think it fulfills that experiment of kind of rethink?
I do, because of that little intro section, and it comes back to it at the end as well.
Okay.
I think that was a very well executed transition. The fact that it just kind of gives you a little bit of what you're familiar with. And that's never, I don't think that's going to be a single ever off of this album.
And too long.
But it's good. And I got to say, God bless you, Beyonce. I don't have to feel like a scumbag for finding you to be a very sexy woman because you write songs like this.
Well, and that's also like a great nod to what, like, the history of, like, country blues, right? Those like black blues singers from the like 20s, 30s, and that. Those songs are like they would make this song look like a kiddie show, right? They're like
Exactly.
highly sexually explicit because it
Yeah,
was all about
the
sex.
raunchiness is kind of to be expected.
It's
And
based in the tradition in the best way possible, right?
I
Because it
agree.
is about this like dialogue between like these
I mean,
people in this community. It's great.
can we be honest? What is the number, probably the number one human desire? Getting laid. Like, to an extent, there's kind of that quality. And so the honesty, I know it's difficult to just address it. We've talked about it with previous artists where it's like just growing up as a young man trying to get yourself familiarized with that. It's like when you hear certain artists like Beyonce or I can't remember Karen O from the Yeah, and just that execution is just that's real. That's a real emotion.
And
And
it speaks more to, I think, where that tradition began, because like the idea of country music specifically has this very chaste, like tightened collar. That's like a to my mind, a recent construction of it that is also like the fact of it being this like conservative thing too is, I don't know, it's just silly to project that onto a tradition that did not start that way.
Exactly. Yeah. Yeah. No, the whole conservative thing is I'm
We're
cool with conservation of animals, but let's not do it to us people.
All right. I feel quite strongly about my worst song.
Do you
I don't
want to
know.
give this a shot? Do you
Do
want
you
to give the
think we
three,
have a
two, one?
three? I don't think we do. I think I dislike this for a very specific reason. And so I don't want mine to come across as like callous, but it's something you know about me when it comes to what we choose to write a song about and why we're
Okay.
doing it. I don't know. This
Let's
is
do a
it.
three, two, one. Let's just,
All right, let's do it.
for shits and giggles, you can, if we don't have the same opinion, you can start.
That's just the beauty of diversity, right? All right. 3, 2, 1,
River
Protector.
Dance.
I hate River
No
Dance too.
way.
I.
I think that's the best lyrics on the
Oh
album.
my God, that's offensive for you to say that. That's awful. I hate everything about Protector. I want that song.
Oh, wow.
I hate the idea that people in the future are gonna dedicate that song to their children. I hate that idea. It makes me actually nauseous to think that's something that will happen. That is
Man.
the reason that song exists. I hate that it opens as a lullaby. I hate that, like, you're gonna shine, I'll be your projector.
I
I
think
hate
that
the
lyric is not
idea.
that good, but come on, there is some.
No, man, it's not great. I really don't like it.
I'm very stunned. I'm very
That is
stunned
a
by that.
song about having a kid. And that is great, but that is not, I don't know. It's just not enough. It's a bugaboo of mine. I think you know this about me, but I also think it's the one song that I think dips way too much into being overly sentimental in a way that the rest of the record that feels really playful. It just doesn't resonate. It doesn't work to me. And I.
Talking to her child, writing a song about her. Don't get me wrong, I think
Record that and give
family.
it to her as a birthday gift. Don't put it on a record I gotta listen to after. And it's just everything about it is when I framed this whole discussion as me kind of recognizing this is a kind of huge pop corporate construction that we're dealing with. This is the most corporate song. And by that I mean it's taking what seems to be kind of human emotion and affect and turning it into this kind of jingle of like parent child affection. And it is done in a way that is the most above the board, capital letter, like protector. I
What a
really
parent
hate it.
is,
I really
man.
hate it for all those reasons. It is disingenuous and it's framed as genuine. And I don't like it at all.
So the most disingenuous thing is her song to her child.
But you know why it is. Come on, man. You
I
know.
no, I thought I
Come
really
on.
sincerely feel like that was the best lyrics on the
That
album.
genre of songwriting, though, and like I'm not even just trying to call out Protector specifically. I'm saying there is a genre of like, I'm gonna play this at my daughter's wedding when
Come
we do
on,
our
man.
dance.
I feel
It's
proud of who I am because you need me is beautiful. I
something
think
about
that's.
like, what is it, all the hands, like, and that's how you're raised.
Oh,
Oh,
lift you up so you bent so you'll be raised. I think those are good lyrics. Are you fucking okay? Okay, this is a weird dividing point, but I'm here to keep.
I don't want us to be in agreement the entire time. And I do. Whoever's writing lyrics for, and again, I don't know who wrote lyrics to this, but whoever is writing lyrics for these tracks, and I know there's different people in each one. Mm-hmm. I think, like I said, man, there are songs that are, I think, trying to be a bit more emotionally grounded.
Mm-hmm.
And I mean, 16 Carriages is right before this one. The fact that they have 16 Carriages and then Protector, are they basically linked up? Let me remember.
I think yeah.
16 Carriages and then Protector. 16 Carriages fills the space. Protector, I think, is trying to. It is emotionally honest. It is a great example of what I'm talking about. It's lyrically stronger. Protector right after that, it's just perfunctory. I don't know. I'm feeling my feelings.
Beyonce, I'm on your side. I think that that's a beautiful song and the best lyrics on the album in any of
that
the songs.
That is.
What's a better song lyrically?
16 Carriages, right before it, is better. It's smarter.
You did just say that, but I still disagree.
Texas Hold'em is better lyrically.
No, it's not.
In terms of what it's trying to do. It is. It's a good song. I love Texas Hold'em. That was almost my favorite before I revisited 16 Carriages.
For anybody from the Hive, Colton doesn't have a child and doesn't want pets, so he just doesn't understand.
I think the sentiment is perfectly fine, but there's nothing about that song I find compelling. There you go. I'm done. Right. Let's talk about Riverdance.
Okay, the previous two songs, right before Riverdance.
Yeah.
Well, first of all, you got Yaya, and then you got Oh Louisiana, which, man, I wanted that song to transition from that really high pitch.
That's just Chuck Berry sped up.
Yeah, but I just wanted that to be expanded upon. I'm like, all right, Beyonce, handle this. But then it transitions into Desert Eagle, which I also go like, this sounds kind of cool. And then Riverdance just has bounce on the shit dance. Bounce on the shit dance. It's just every time.
Both hands or no hands.
Yeah, no hands. And it's just, it feels like that song's about to go somewhere. And it comes right back to that just do.
Yeah, that's straight.
Bounce on the shit dance. Bounce. And I'm like, what? The lyrics seem like they're about to go a different direction and be about something really deep and heavy. And then it just keeps coming back to bounce on that shit dance.
That bounce as a hook, it does not work. And they really over rely on that as the hook for that song.
Yeah, and it just, it annoys me. Out of every song on this album, that's the most annoying song. Where we're talking about Beyonce, who has such vocal power and range. And that's what you're using as a fucking hook. And it's like, the parts in between, I feel like Promise is starting to galvanize. It's coming in. Okay, here, we're going to expand. We're going to make it bigger. We're going to do something cooler with it.
Yeah.
Nope. Bounce on that shit dance.
That whole stretch. And actually, it's funny because in my worst song, the slash I have after Protector is most of the interludes. Those like little minute-long sketches. Yeah. And I think that stretch is really what I was talking about. Like, you have Oh Louisiana and Desert Eagle, which I agree. Like, I think the bass line in Desert Eagle is pretty cool, right? Going into it.
But and Oh Louisiana to me.
Yeah, I mean, Louisiana, it's just Chuck Berry sped up. Like, it is, I know it's some of that, but it's also, they don't go anywhere. And when you, like,
that's what pissed me off about
the dynamics of both. Like, it's like short intro.
And I mean, I'll get this out of the way already. I'm like, I would have rather she would have expanded upon, I keep saying expanded, but whatever. Well, word of the episode.
Uh-huh.
Blackbird, Jolene. I wish she wouldn't have expanded that much upon those.
Mm-hmm. Those could have been shorter.
Yeah.
And not. I mean, well, Blackbird's 2 minutes, 11 seconds, in all fairness. It's not. Yeah,
fuck it, Beehive. We're expanding upon this idea of worse songs. Blackbird kind of upsets me because I'm like, Blackbird's such a simplified song, and I get so annoyed when I hear Beyonce adding 5 million harmonies to a song like Blackbird, where I'm like, your voice is gorgeous, cool it.
But and see, And now, this is great. Now I get to push back on Rob.
Okay.
That is, but that's not just Beyonce. That is like all these other like black female country artists that are harmonizing with her. That to me is where what feels like a kind of like reach for co-signing is actually instead like he wrote this supposedly about like black female like participants in the civil rights movement. The idea that he's saying, oh, Blackbird is just black woman. Okay, man. Okay, McCartney.
I actually kind of stand corrected on that. You're right. You're right. I did leave out the fact that she does bring in other artists on that. So I can appreciate that. You're right. My bad. My bad, everybody.
But it's fine. But I think your point about in both that case, even though I'm down for the symbolism behind it, and Jolene, I think Jolene even more so. I'll go ahead and say Jolene is my overrated.
All right.
Because this is like the original Jolene. What's your take on Jolene, the original track?
Dolly P's version?
Dolly P, yes.
Dolly P, yeah. It's something that does kind of, I understand why Beyonce is kind of putting her twist on it. Where it's just like, don't fuck with me, Jolene. Stay away from my man. To whereas right. Dolly Parton is like I found a man. It's almost like I'm so happy I have this person. And yes, I am terrified of you, Jolene. Back off. Please don't take my man. And I know that Dolly Parton really wanted Beyonce to do a cover of Jolene. But it just feels like such a Beyonce flex.
It's kind of more that than anything. And that's my problem with these other interludes. It's like, I know the whole Willie Nelson thing is like, isn't it great when a friend, I keep doing Southern accents, everybody. It's not great. And I'm really sorry, but I can't stop at this episode. Isn't it great when a friend turns you on to something new? That's my issue with, like, again, this goes way back to the beginning of our discussion here. That's part of my issue with this record is it is, that need for a cosign, it doesn't need those things. Yeah. It doesn't need Jolene. And also, it's like it's trying to take Jolene and make it like this more kind of empowered take
trying to make
voice
it
of the original song.
Yeah, yeah.
I think it does the opposite because the whole point of it then is that don't hit on my man. Subtext, my man is prone to cheat because he is.
Yeesh.
And
Jay-Z,
I don't
know. I don't know. Maybe I'm not quite as up to date with Jay-Z facts.
He cheated on her. That's why Solange Knowles beat his ass in an elevator.
That's right. Yeah, I did.
Solange Knowles is the realest part of that family. I love Solange. Great musical artist.
I knew her name was coming in.
Yeah, you knew I had to drop most talented sister in that family.
It's a very good point, because when I listen to Yaya, I do wonder how many of the younger listeners will catch on to the fact that that's Good Vibrations by the Beach Boys.
Right. Well, coupled with Boots Are Made for Walking.
Yeah. Which, don't get me wrong, Yaya, I think, is incredible. I do think that song is badass. One of my favorite Beyonce vocal performances I've ever heard. But I do wonder how many people even appreciate the reference?
I mean, I think I the fact that they might not is maybe part of it. I think the samplings that happen, and this also speaks to American Requiem, right? Because that is, what is it, For What It's Worth? That's Stop, Listen, What's That Sound? Buffalo Springfield.
Yeah.
I think those moments are really inspired. I also don't think they're particularly new. Like, hip-hop has been sampling country and other tracks for a long time. Funny enough, someone I associate with like kind of American soul and like sampling it into hip hop in a really effective way were the earlier, less Nazi influenced discographies of Kanye West. So I have to point that out.
It's really sad that when you said less Nazi, I'm like, oh, Kanye.
Well, because I don't know how deep it went. I don't know where he was in his college dropout phase.
I don't know what the hell happened with that dude.
Mental illness, maybe. But anyway, I take your meaning. I appreciate those moments. Like, I actually think those to me work better because there are these subtle nods to the past while also doing what hip hop culture has done so well, which is appropriate, reinvent, and take back. Right.
But hell yeah. Hell yeah.
The kind of like, hey, everyone, this is Dolly P. I love Dolly Parton. I've been to Dollywood. Like, I've actually physically been to her theme park. There's too much Dolly Parton in this record for nothing. Like, she does nothing. She has to not be here.
No, I'm cool. I'm cool with it. I love Willie. I love Dolly.
I love Willie. I feel like we're a back and forth seesaw.
You know, it probably would have been more effective if Linda Martell was just kind of the focal point of that. Yeah.
I think anyone could sit down with this record and edit out to like a solid, even 15, a solid 15 tracks.
Oh, hell yeah.
This record is amazing.
I agree. And yeah, my overrated, just to kind of like blow past it, would have been Blackbird. But you kind of stifled me on that. Way to go.
Well, but I think it's very, I think, telling that both of our overrateds are the songs that are the least Beyoncé's, because
you know what, again, like I said, you kind of stifled me, because now just having this brief discussion over those two songs, I think I dislike them less just based off of this conversation.
I think I dislike at least one of them more, but I'm always heading to disliking things more.
I'm here to keep everybody happy, and just it's fine. Happy, everything's fine.
Yeah. Everything's great. No, underrated. You want to go first, buddy? I've been taking lead. I want you.
That's very true. Oh man, this is tough. Just because I know it's, I was gonna throw in Daughter and Spaghetti, because I just think that those are really cool tunes, and have some interesting lyrics. But because of the fact that I know it's going to be released as a single, because why wouldn't it be? It's Levi Jeans.
Hey, buddy, that's my underrated.
That's a cool tune.
That is a very cool. Melody. I actually, and this is coming from someone who has little to do with or has any desire to have anything to do with Post Malone. I like that song.
And this is what I was getting at before. It was so cool. Something I discovered a few months ago was Post Malone can sing. He's fine. He's kind of Andy Hull-esque to me, like with his ability in singing. I think Andy Hull still has a better voice, but it's pretty similar. I love the fact in this song, like, Beyonce does a song with, which I think is also a really good song, with Miley Cyrus, but it's clearly Beyonce kind of taking the high notes, taking the big vocal runs, and Miley Cyrus just kind of stays in her strong area.
She's got a range, yeah.
Yeah, and just with Post Malone, I love the fact that this song ends with him actually taking the strong vocalist approach. That song's so good.
And again, it's another great example to me of what I think this record is, the thesis at the core of it, right? It is small in scope. And yet, I think the actual like execution of the song says a lot politically and culturally. Yeah. And it is like just also working on the level of just a really effective pop song.
Out of all the songs, that kind of reminded me the most of like 90s pop country.
Well, and isn't that cool though? That's what I know Beyonce excels at. And like the reason I think she gets songwriting credits in the first place for the most part is because of, I think, the way that she bends melody. And what I think she does so great in this album, and I think Blue Jeans or Levi Jeans is a great example of, is little like allusions to kind of classic country melodies, right?
Yeah.
Kind of twang. 50s, yeah. Bluebell South kind of twang. And she does it all over the place, I know, and the kind of Grand Ole Opry drops here and there and that stuff.
Yeah.
I think that is one of those like truly artful things I think this album does. It's kind of like a Where's Waldo.
Who would have guessed Beyonce Post Malone duet?
Again, this sounds like I'm trying to be a cool guy. I don't know who he is, and so I didn't know what this was. I didn't even have an opinion.
Okay, well then, speaking for somebody who did know who he was, it would have been a very surprising duet for it to be a country song. And just the fact that it works, and again, something I really appreciate about Beyoncé is I love the way she talks about that sexual urge between lovers.
Mm-hmm.
And I mean, I think that we've heard plenty of songs to where it's gross. In Beyoncé tracks, I always feel like I'm like, no, that's sincere. That's like the real emotion you feel when you're...
I feel like you're inviting me to talk about Minus the Bear, but I love our
but
podcast network.
That's an example of doing it poorly. You know?
And I'm glad you agree. Yeah.
Yeah. But I agreed on the episode. I just happen to be the more agreeable person. So I always find a way to be a little
I'm speaking in part kinder. Two, bass blown CEO DJ Brute, who even now is probably thinking...
He's still just shouting out, it's a song about a storm.
A very sexy storm, according to Minus the Bear. I agree. I think the songs that kind of touch on desire and attraction and this record, it's, again, there's a lot here where I think when she's in her pocket, it is fantastic. Yeah. I think that if I'm going to like hit out what I consider weaker points, I think American Requiem, for all it tries to do, is also way too overblown. It could have been shorter. Mm-hmm. I think certain kind of acoustic tracks that are a little bit more run-of-the-mill, like Protector or Bodyguard. What was your thought on Bodyguard?
I like Bodyguard.
The melody was so boring to me.
Really?
Which I was not expecting for a Beyoncé song.
Oh, let's let it play for a second. Oh no, I really liked Bodyguard.
It's got a like horse with no name America vibe to it, but it's, I don't know, man.
No, I'm dancing. It almost, for some reason, the Gorillaz popped into my head. Like, it had that kind of, the windmill for the night. Like, it had a little bit of that, like, dreamy, like, floating in clouds place that it took me to. And, I liked all of it.
I think, to
I dug it, man.
Bodyguard, on any other artist thing, it would be a kind of middle-of-the-road kind of country pop song. I think in this collection, it gets a boost, but it's not that first half. I think it has some really great bangers, and it has songs that feel like they're there to set up the bangers. Bodyguard sets up a banger for me.
Bodyguard is a banger. I don't know which one I disagree with you more now, Protector or Bodyguard. I'm not sure.
I'll give you Bodyguard if you tell me you agree that there's parts of Protector that are, I'm not, okay, maybe Disingenuous is too strong. Obnoxious.
Your opinion? Yeah.
Oh my god. Okay.
Yeah. Well, yeah, that's anywho. Right. I've planted my feet. I'm not moving on this.
Also, I'm panicking because I'm kind of looking through to see what I have not talked about. Shout out to Shaboozy. I think he's great in Sweet Honey Bucket.
You did bring up that you really like him, which is, I don't think he did anything wrong.
I've never heard Shaboozy before, and I was like, you know what? He is a big winner in this album to me. I'm like, hey. It's like a movie where it's like a yuppie. And again, I don't know if he's more established, but I've never heard of him. It's like, hey, I've been around for 15 years, man.
No, he probably is there for a reason.
I think he's great.
I mean, I can say I feel a little bad on Just for Fun. Whoever Willie Jones is, you get featured for like a blip of that song and then just gone. So Willie, We gave you a little shout out.
Yeah, and I feel like it's because Willie Nelson is right before that, and when people see Willie,
yeah,
my first thought was, oh, Willie Nelson's on this track. No, he is not.
I'm not going to lie. Jones. There was a part of me when I heard it, I was just like, couldn't we have just had Willie do that? Like, can we have the Willie Nelson do it? But
while we're shouting out, I feel like we're coming to the end here, folks.
Yes, we're getting close to commercial break here.
We got the reason I was trying to give some special love to Texas Hold'em is it features on banjo Rhiannon Gibbons, which if anyone's unfamiliar, she is this like She is, just by in being involved in this record, she's the best vocalist on Cowboy Carter, who doesn't really, I think, sing. She's outstanding.
And she's the best vocalist who doesn't sing. I can agree with that.
Because okay. I think she's only playing banjo on that track. I don't think she contributes vocals. I could be wrong. She was, the Carolina Chocolate Drops. That is the band that she was kind of most known for initially. It was an all-black bluegrass band. She is she plays fiddle, she plays banjo. She is an amazing vocalist, just a great songwriter. The fact that she's on there, it's silly, but I just love that track even more.
That song's really good. It's just not as good as 16 Carriages, as we were.
That's fair.
Both.
But better than Protector and Bodyguard.
Again, no, but whatever. We're not gonna see eye to eye on this. Let's just try to maintain our friendship as much as we can.
Why did Know Your Rights end? They wouldn't budge on their
Beyonce.
On their Cowboy Carter
Beyonce fucking brought those two down.
Beyonce somewhere is kind of petting her cat on her chair, going, "Yes, it's all going according to plan."
I mean, shit. Based off of everything that we've done, I mean, My Rose is all right. I feel like I just have to say these because we've almost done every single song. Flamenco's good.
It's fine. And again, I feel like there are a number of songs that are there. Do I think they have to be there? Right. My Rose. It's so brief. I don't know. And I do love a great like rap album with skits and interludes. Right. Mm-hmm. I love the cinematic quality that comes out of that. I think less could have been more.
That's kind of the thing behind Cowboy Carter is it's very theatrical still in tone, not necessarily in lyric.
There is this kind of overall feeling of extravagance, which I got. It's alluring, right? It's not a mode that I create in, mostly because I can't afford to, for the most part.
Same. I mean, the album I'm working on right now, it's like it's really just song based. There's nothing to try to grandize it more. But that's kind of the thing for Beyonce is dealing with a much larger audience than you and I are. She's got to go hard. She can't just pussyfoot around.
Well, she has a number of songs that get to that, I guess. Well, this was fantastic. Let's take our break.
Yes.
And then we will, what everyone's been waiting for, our long-awaited ratings of Cowboy Carter.
The final ratings and who we will be covering next. Leo, tell them about Chit Show. Yeah, I do need a piece.
Okay.
When it comes to making the goings-on of the world entertaining, we got you covered. The Chit Show is a news, pop culture, geek culture, and music podcast hosted by none other than Danny, a.k.a. Danko, and me, Leo, a.k.a. DJ Brute. Tune in as we cover all sorts of topics with a very opinionated and wild twist. The Chit Show Podcast, where chit chat and shit shows come together for your entertainment. Tune in on your favorite streaming platforms with new episodes dropping every other Monday. Again, that's The Chit Show, a Baseblown Entertainment podcast.
All right, everybody. It's time.
It's time.
We're
pins and needles.
I hope we haven't lost any diehard Beehive fans. I think we showcase that we do have a strong appreciation for Beyonce.
In the spirit of totally undoing all of that, let's give our ratings for this album out of 5. And the thing is, I think we've done this twice before. I have no memory. Like literally feels like I've been like Men in Black mind wiped.
I've definitely been neuralized. I don't
Blink 182 self-titled and
David
Bazan.
Yeah. David Bazan. If his name is David, I don't remember. Joe, I'm sorry. Matt, I'm sorry. I did really like that album. I have listened to it since.
I will have to go back after and I'll be interested to see. I'm pretty sure Blink 182, I gave it a 2.5.
Yeah. So. You weren't big on it. I'm assuming Beyonce is probably going to do a little better than Blink on this one.
We're going to see. Oh, we're going to see.
All right. So mine, I'm going to go, God, I want to give it a 4 out of 5, but I'll go 3.8 out of 5 just based off of all the albums I've heard and just the ambition that she had on it. And there is something to be said for an album that could have that many cooks trying to make it
cooks
and actually pull off some really profound and provoking ideas. I dug it, man. I think it's worthy of being such a such a monumental album for the year of our Lord, to quote Colton Saylor, 2024.
That's fair. 3.8. Is that what you landed on? 3.8?
I'll go 3.8. I had to take it just two little scotches. Again, taking from Colton's nomenclature here.
It's so random. I got that from that Jason Biggs movie Loser, where he says scotch. I don't know if anyone's even aware of what I'm talking
about.
For
anybody, we were recording an album, me and my bandmate Robbie were recording an album that Colton was doing, and just anytime something was a little too loud, he's like, "Can you bring it down a scotch?" And we're like, "What the fuck is a scotch?"
That's
sounds
my
like a body part. It sounds like a dirty body part.
But I think everyone instantly is like, "We get it. We get that is a little bit more than a touch, right? Yeah. But a little bit less than a bit."
Exactly.
There you go. It's fair.
There you go. Webster, that's the definition.
I'm giving this a 3 out of 5. 3 out of 5. And I,
all right,
I think this is where, at the beginning of this episode, I mentioned this term, optimism, right? Which is more or less a movement that's been in the works for a while, right? This idea of taking pop music more seriously at a critical level. And I think when you and I were younger, like we came of age for the most part in the 90s, somewhat in the 2000s. And like the 90s ethos that I still, I think to my detriment, have ingrained in me is sellout culture is like antithetical to integrity. Like commercial success is, you know, typically equates to some form of less sincerity, less authenticity, even the idea of authenticity being a thing by which to judge music. And I think we both have touches of that in this podcast. I think it's just in our DNA. I think poptimism is a way of people to get rid of that, right? This quote, like, rock, they call it like the quote unquote rock centric way of thinking of music, that just having one person as a songwriter shouldn't be what we admire about a track, right? The kind of that Bob Dylan is the sole author, right? That we can appreciate, even though Bob Dylan has tons of people playing on his records that make them part of what they are anyway.
Yes, he does. So
I appreciate every element of trying to take what is seen as kind of lower cultural forms and bring them into a more kind of critical conversation. I think that's fantastic. I do that in my scholarship. I teach detective fiction. Shoot, that's low fiction. And I'm always talking to my students about how it can be seen at a more scholarly level. I think there are limits, though. And part of what my hesitation is in talking about Cowboy Carter, and what I really enjoy talking about with you, is seeing what I really see as really valuable and amazing in this record, while also for myself kind of tempering this idea of it as this amazing piece of art. It is made to sell a ton of records.
There could be moments where I can hear the capitalizing as opposed to the sincerity.
It is, I think, when we were talking initially, I brought up in films, right? Where when you have like summer blockbuster, that is just like, it is made to just put butts in seats, right? Yeah. Like Marvel films and like the heyday of Marvel films, like they were putting butts in seats. And I've seen, now I think my estimation of Marvel movies is lower than yours. Is that true?
Oh, it's gone down a little bit. But
I think for most people
initial,
it has.
Yeah, the first like four phases of it, I was really on board. But like, then it did just turn into a formula.
Like my whole thing is, and maybe this is a pretty apt example, right? So Ryan Coogler getting asked to direct Black Panther. I would rather, 10 times out of 10, I want him to make films of his own, like original stories. I would never choose to have him making movies for Marvel. And I think that is true for a lot of, I mean, that's the blueprint, right? Is to take someone who does some really great indie project, and not just Marvel, that is all summer blockbusters, put them at the charge of some huge blockbuster production. I mean, that's how Steven Spielberg became Steven Spielberg.
I think you and I are big Jurassic Park fans because we both love dinosaurs, but man, those last Jurassic Worlds were.
And that's what happened. They took Colin Trevorrow, right, and a few other people that had done these smaller indie projects and then put them in this machine. Yeah. I think that is where I have limits with poptimism as an ideal. And I never feel like I'm like in such a like revelry and just like total elation that people have when artists like Beyonce and Taylor Swift and these other kind of bigger pop artists today come out, because now every new album release is the second coming of this grand, huge musical moment. And every Grammys award show next year, it's going to be, you can guess, right? I mean, if this doesn't win album of the year, I don't know what's going on.
I'll be surprised. Right? But I mean, that's why I like when they say, you know, is it a country album? Is it not a country album? Like, it was kind of weird that I got number one on Billboard top country albums. It's not country enough for me at that.
That's so, yeah.
At that moment. But regardless, I think when it comes to those particular albums you're talking about, especially in this day and age of who's going to be the obvious front runners for album of the year at a Grammy Awards, which both of us think is about as impactful as our ratings are.
Yeah.
I appreciate what Beyonce put together. What she made sure to keep her values in and keep herself with involved with the project. I think that that album is surprisingly more worthy than I think other zeitgeist of our day and age.
So, and I guess that is maybe where I can leave my thoughts on Cowboy Carter. Is you even saying, when we talk about these really huge commercial entities that are specifically with music, music is so unique in that way, are quote unquote appraising and telling us what artists and albums are of value and of worth.
Yeah.
I think in that way, we have, in a lot of ways, kind of come full circle where we are too ready as a public to acknowledge that what is hugely, hugely popular must be so because it is good. That's why I love talking about Cowboy Carter with you, because I think this record could have been handled in a way where the songs didn't have as much effort and thought put into them. And even if it's Beyonce, it doesn't work, right?
Yeah.
And in that way, I really admire it. But at the same time, I'm also not willing to give it its flowers just because. And maybe that's where I'm leaving it.
You're just angry. Bodyguard is fucking good. Protector is good. All right. So we are.
That was built. That was like a 2-week building. I appreciate you letting me get that out. And everyone, I hope you're with me. I just had to say it. That's all. 3 out of 5.
Everybody, I hope you're with me. Bodyguard is a fucking good tune.
It's the most boring track on that album.
It's
like
totally not
musically
boring.
In the melody.
It's not even kind of boring.
That's what I'm saying, man.
Look at me grooving. I'm dancing. With the windows closed.
What songs that make Rob dance, everyone, that is, it's a low watermark.
I disagree. I very rarely will I dance on camera.
Also, calling what you're doing dancing right now is also generous. It's mainly a shoulder.
I'm all upper body. I'm all upper body when it comes to dancing. My feet are just, I have 2 left feet. Yeah.
I really enjoyed talking about this with you. Thank you, everybody, for sticking around with us. This ended up, we were like, God, is this going to be a short podcast? I don't think so.
Nope, never is. I'm gonna really hate us when I'm editing this down, but whatever.
We love to talk. I love to hear you. Now is the time where I'm the one who dropped this Cowboy Carter experiment on my co-host's lap, and now Rob is going to tell us what we are listening to for next episode.
I'm going to kind of clean up our dirty 30s here.
Dirty 32.
My first hint, and I wish to tell everybody, I didn't tell Colton a single thing.
I have nothing. I'm so excited. This is my favorite part of any time that we record.
I haven't said a thing, and you'll realize why I had to put that disclaimer in. All right, my first hint is 10. Okay, nothing.
I got nothing.
You're gonna have to collaborate with me on which
albums. I hope
that's
not the number of albums we have to listen to.
That's a really good point you're bringing up. Is you're gonna have to collaborate with me on this. I haven't chosen which albums to do.
That's fair. Okay.
What should be my second hint? Crush. I'm being 10. A dick. I'm kind of being Crush. A dick here.
Don't put me back.
You're
there.
Right. You're right. Don't you're right. I'm sorry.
Don't I'm put
sorry.
Me in that.
Okay.
Okay, usually, 10, Crush.
I got 2 more hints. You may get it on this one.
Okay.
It's not the entitle or the entire song title. Aesthetic.
I have no clue, man. 10, Crush, Aesthetic. I feel so silly. Like, I really, and the reason you did that whole preamble is that it's someone who came up during this podcast. It sounds like it is. So now I kind of have to go through 10. Is it Post Malone? Are we talking about Post Malone?
No, I'm not doing that to us.
I'm so happy. Thank you so much. I'll give me one more. Give me something else.
One more. Sweetness.
Oh! Oh, there we go. Okay, we really have to talk about what albums. You don't know yet? Do you have an idea?
I was thinking of starting with Clarity up until, which, by the way, everybody, it's a Jimmy Eat World.
No, don't even tell. Let's just get this going.
It's Jimmy Eat World. I was in my head, I was going to, like, just in case this episode was a complete disaster, we can just dive into an artist that we're way more familiar with and have such a passion for.
All right. Look here. One, two.
I was thinking Clarity up until, man, I want to go to Damage because I really love it, but that's just a lot.
I have a somewhat radical suggestion, and you can cut this out if you want. I don't know. I have a radical suggestion.
All right.
I'm suggesting this is, I think, a seminal band. I'm suggesting a classic, I think we'll call it the Arctic Monkeys format. We're not doing two in a row. Well, it's at least do a part one.
Yes. We will do part two. I'm certain of that. But
so in that way, I think let's cut it in half. Because if we cut it in half, well, the Jimmy Eat World, the self-titled, that is like non-existent.
Yeah, we're not doing that one.
I don't want to do that. I think if we do, so it's really, we're working with 9 albums. If we start with Static Prevails,
okay,
Clarity, Bleed American, and then Futures, that's 4. That's 4 in a row. And that is a murderer's row of albums. And then our part two can be the back half of the discography sometime in the future.
I'm in. All right, everybody. Static Prevails, Clarity, Bleed American, Futures.
Those 4, that is, I think, the Modest Mouse, just on the face of it, the Modest Mouse suggestion.
Isaac Brock and Co., they got a competitor.
This, like, in terms of, like, strong album releases, strung up. Oh, my goodness.
Yeah. This will be fun. I like that. I like that selection, but I just had to run it by you. I wanted to start with Clarity just because, like, that's the groundbreaking album for them.
And the reason I love us doing Static Prevails before that is the switch between those two in 3 years is, I don't know, like, we have so much to talk about. I already have so many questions that I'm starting to wrestle with in my brain.
I'm throwing Stay on My Side tonight as the EP to add to that.
That's fair, because I have so many hot takes about that EP.
Perfect. All right. So the four full length and the one EP.
Here is just a hint of what my hot take is. That is the first extended play we are doing on this podcast. Mm-hmm. That's how much I love that extended play.
Oh, buddy.
It's so buddy. Good.
I just needed it in there. Yes.
Guys, let's go.
Beehive, come back. Come back.
That's great. And I would love to know. I bet you there's a lot of overlap. Everybody, please, let's all just listen to good music together.
no.your.writes.podcast@gmail.com. Please let us know what you thought. Yeah. And
check out Bass Blown Entertainment. Check out Siren Songbook. Check out Chit Show.
Amen.
Which,
by the way, we're kind of dicks because the Siren Songbook covered Beyonce before us. I didn't even know. Yeah. So,
hey, but you know what?
We weren't trying to steal any of your thunder, but
we're all just trying to make sense of this universe around us. And
that's right.
The best we can.
This very, very confusing, terrifying world.
Everybody have a good day. Rob, I love you, buddy. Thank you.
Love you too, man.
For being my partner in this.
Yeah.
Because tonight,
it's Sunday. I gotta get. I
There's
gotta
actually
get
so
work.
Many Jimmy Eat World songs that have tonight, and I'm starting to lose my
and Sunday.
<plot. laughs>
All right. Thank you, everybody.